Week we talked about making decisions, and I appreciate this new format that Cody and Kyle and I have decided to try to do is making these two-part lessons so we can kind of introduce a thought and then try to wrap up the thought the following week. Hopefully for members here that's something that's been useful for you and you enjoy it. I think it gives us an opportunity sometimes to reflect on the things that we've heard from people that have listened to the lessons and maybe had some comments and be able to add to it. You know, last week we talked about primarily about the casting of lots and the Urim and Thummim and how those applied to the Jews and the decision making that they had as they made decisions. And certainly they would look to God for making decisions just as we should today. But when we began last week, we also started with some questions, typical questions that we see people asking. And I've tried to summarize these. We'll go through these real quickly here and then we'll get started with today's thoughts. But in making decisions, last week we talked about people saying, well, do you want to go out? Is this a good college? I'd like to apply for a job. The things we see as we grow older and we leave the house and we start becoming adults, the questions that we ask or we ask one another, maybe a parent asking a child or a son or daughter or a grandparent or just peers saying that to one another, saying, well, what do you think about this? We also talked about home ownership. I brought the fact up that I'm looking for that. Do you like this house? Do you like this town? Do you plan to have kids? Again, this idea of family development, where we live, the places we're going to go, and those things. We also wrapped up as we were posing some questions last week about people asking, well, what religion are you? Or how did you get involved in that religion after they find out which religion you are? Or asking, what religion is right? A lot of people ask those very questions like that. And so this idea of making decisions, as I talked about last week, they say that sometimes people make up 35,000 times a day they try to make decisions. Whether that's right or wrong, I'll do this or I won't do that. I'm surprised Kyle didn't point this out to me last week, and I was thinking about this on my way in and jotted it down, but he has an affinity with some of the same bands that I do. And one of my favorite questions is probably been there since I was a teenager, and a band called Rush asked the question. It says, if you choose not to decide, you still have made a choice. And I've always loved that lyric right there because that is so true. It's so true for the world. But I think when we get into these spiritual things, our actions and how we decide on things for God or for the church or for ourselves or our families, all these things, sometimes not deciding is a choice that God actually is going to be either unhappy with us for or happy with us for. And so think about these things as we go through here today. So again, last week we were going through just the different ways that the Jews especially made decisions when they didn't have direct command from God or from a prophet or from Moses or whoever it may be into the New Testament. We talked about the casting of lots and those things. This week we're going to talk a little bit more about spiritual things. And as I've got on the board, you should see behind me there, we're talking about the decisions we make and how they impact us and those around us. And I've been thinking a lot about this for myself. There's things that I have been very rigid on spiritually with regard to my family and my in-laws over the years, but sometimes that rigidity sometimes is something that will cause people to distance themselves from you, and you never want to do that. So today we don't have the casting of lots and the Urim and Thummim that we see so often. I'm not going to say that that's completely something that we shouldn't try. As I joked about last week, and I said when I was working on this lesson a while back, I went ahead and I was trying the casting of lots to see what the decision would be for the house I was trying to get. And I knew I had some issues, but I was still curious about it, and I just worked on this lesson, so I said, well, I'll try casting lots. And three times I tested it to see if it would work. Three times it said, this is a bad deal. And then this week I found out that it was truly a bad deal. I had two inspections done, and they said that what I was trying to walk into was so costly that not even an appraiser would approve it. So thankfully, I used some wisdom in that as well. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Oops, sorry about that. Sometimes this goes faster than I do. So why don't we use these things today? Why don't we use the Urim and Thummim? Or why don't we cast lots today? And I'll say the main thing that I want us to focus on today is the fact that we have the Bible. We have the full instruction. And that's what I was trying to lead up with last week, where there was no instruction, where there was no command for the people of God, in the Old Testament especially, they needed answers from people that had a connection with God or these special cases that God will allow them to do. So today we're going to be applying some scripture to these questions and help us to make the best decisions as we go forward. And we're going to be focusing in on those questions that we started off last week and kind of looking at how Scripture can affect those decisions. So one of the things we had there, a question, says, well, do you want to go out? A guy is interested in a girl, and he's interested in just trying to date or something like that. And he said, hey, I like you. I think you and I are compatible. Would you like to go out? Or maybe the woman is doing the same thing. So the question physically is that person pretty? Do they have a handsome face? From different points of view, from whatever sex that person is, those things can be different there. Do they have a nice smile? I think a lot of times people will say that when I first met my wife or my husband, they just had the most beautiful smile and I just loved it. Well, that's good. Is that enough to make an interest for you to want to go out with that person? Maybe it's their hair color. When I grew up, everybody had whatever hair color was they were born with. These days, you could have all kinds of different colors. I'm sure some of you that are in universities have even seen blue and purple and things like that. But maybe somebody's interested in somebody that's willing to do those kind of things. What about weight? There was a time when people would say, well, if you're not this thin or you're this light, it's going to be hard for you somebody to be interested in you. And that's not true. Some people like a big person. Some people like a small person. Some people like different shapes and sizes. And I've got those on here too. What about their complexion? Are they very dark-complected? Are they very light-complected? Some people like people of those different complexions. And sometimes those complexions can lead to what nationality they are, where they're from. What about their eye color? That's always, you typically, when you're talking to somebody, and a lot of us kind of avoid eye contact, but you're usually looking right in somebody's eyes to see what they look like. And especially if you're interested in a boy or a girl, depending on who you're interested in going out with there, sometimes you pay attention to their eyes. It's like, oh man, their eyes are so beautiful. They just mesmerize me. And those kind of things. What about shape? Are they very stout? Are they very muscular? Are they very round? All these things. Personality is a huge one there. We get along great. Or we don't get along so well. Those things all help us make those decisions. So many times I've talked to friends about a laugh. Oh, that person, they laugh so funny, and I love it. And sometimes you're attracted to that person just because of any one of those things. That's the physical side, but what about the spiritual side? We can jump over to Proverbs chapter 31:30, and all these are from the New King James. If you'd like to follow along, you're welcome to. But it says, charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, there's a lot of passages about looking for an interest in someone you might date or marry one day. The point of view from the Bible often is a male point of view, so very often the things that are talked about are in the feminine, but this applies to both male or female. You could say the same thing. A guy could be very charming. He may be very handsome, but one who fears the Lord shall be praised. So what are we looking for in a person if we want to go out with them? This kind of person? Or maybe this? Proverbs 5:3 says, the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Also, along those lines, Proverbs 7:21, with her enticing speech she causes him to yield. With her flattering lips she seduces him. Again, switch the sex here, and it's just as important. The lips or the language or the actions of an immoral man may drip honey to a woman, and his mouth may be smoother than oil. These things all work for either sex there, but the bottom line in these comparative passages here is somebody seem to be focused on spiritual. Are they focused on doing what is right? Or are they just wanting to get with you? Do they have a desire for you or for them? Some people want to only make themselves better. They don't really care about your interests. And so we have to be very careful with these things. I asked the question last week, is this a good college? As this person might be walking down there, I believe that's Harvard, or I think the picture that I took said it was Harvard. I can't guarantee that. But what's the physical things that people look at for making a college? Is this a well-recognized school? People that have the money want to go to a school that is going to be very prestigious. I've got other things on here. We'll just go through these lists here. Nice campus, strong in sports, good success rate for employment. Is it affordable? Maybe the last one there. Most people, if they have the money, typically look for the well-recognized. Is it a nice campus, the strong sports, or success rate of employment? We all want to get a job for our kids. We want to send them to a school where they're going to get a job, be well-educated. Often you hear about the quote-unquote Ivy League schools in the United States. They're ranked so highly in education and cost, of course, but they have a very good success rate. There's other schools, even some of the local ones here, the what we call community colleges that we have some here involved in, that may not be as prestigious as that, but actually have a better success rate than those higher schools do. And those kids may learn just as much, if not more, in those kind of situations. But these are often the things that people think about when they're thinking about college. It may be the boy or the girl that's just graduated high school and is planning for college, but it might be a mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, aunt, uncle, or friend. They all ask these same questions. These are the physical things. What about the spiritual things? 1 Corinthians 3, verses 17 through 19 says, "If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy." What are we talking about? Are we talking about a physical temple, like this institution, this great, beautiful campus? It says right there, "For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." So this is talking about you. "Let no one deceive himself, for anyone among you seems to be wise in this age. Let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, 'He catches the wise in their own craftiness.'" A fairly deep verse that we can look into, but when we're comparing those things to the physical, that people are looking for these colleges, the spiritual things are not made of what the world sees. They're made of what's inside you. And there are so many verses about this temple of our bodies that's important for us to think about. What about applying for a job? Another person, they're going to college typically so they can get a good job, or they're going through school. What's some of the things they think about? What type of work is this? I want to do work that I like to do, not what you want me to do. What are the hours? That's going to be an important thing. We know some jobs require you to be there for long hours a day. Other jobs may not require that much. What's the pay? That's a huge one right there for what kind of job we want to get. Location, networks, distance, and travel time. All these things are so important. The networks, I didn't really figure out the best word to use there, but what I was trying to say is sometimes we can get into a company that has satellite locations around the United States or sometimes around the world, and we're interested in becoming a part of that organization because we might be able to be someplace else. The company I'm working for now is all over across the United States, and we have satellite companies that we're partnered with around the world too. That was one of the decision factors that I used for joining that work there. I love Colorado. I was born in Colorado. Someday I'd like to be back in Colorado. I would like to check in other places too, but would I be possible to, if I worked in a place that was only local, or would I need to look for some place further out? And again, distance and travel time, so important. I don't want to have to drive 2 hours to work every day, but some people like to do that, again, if the pay's enough. How can you spin that around for spiritual? Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 says, "He who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver, nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity." Remember how many times that word is used throughout Ecclesiastes. "When goods increase, they increase who eat them. So what profit have the owners except to see them with their eyes?" The idea here is trying to do more, have a job that does, that accomplishes more for more money and more things, more houses, more cars. That is something that you can become addicted to, and often people do become addicted to these things. Silver and gold sometimes are all that people want, and that's not the spiritual goal that we should have in looking for a job. What about for our homes? It's physical things. I can put a few things on there. Is it beauty, space, land, comfort, style, location, proximity to neighbors, or close to, not too close to family? What are all these things have that I should be thinking about, or you should be thinking about if you're looking for a home? Is it a beautiful place? Sometimes yes and sometimes no. Can it be a beautiful place? When you're looking at doing rehab homes or something like that, maybe you have an idea in your mind, I could flip this or I could make it work out for myself. Space and land are huge. You can go to a place that's very narrowly tucked in beside somebody else's house, but if you want to go outside and sit on the porch and just relax, is that house going to accommodate that? Is it going to be comfortable? Is it going to have the style that you like? Is it going to feel like you're living in the 60s or 70s? Some of these places that I've been visiting, I can almost see all the years that these houses have been built, and they feel like that. Proximity to neighbor, and again, the family and proximity to those things there. Family is very important, but if you're too close to them, you may not feel like you've got a life of your own. You see so many people talk about mothers-in-laws and fathers-in-laws and sisters-in-laws, whatever those cases are. So all those things are considerations. So what can we do with the spiritual part of that? Haggai verses 3 through 6 of chapter 1 says, "The word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, 'Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put in a bag with holes.'" I love my favorite part about this verse, and I was thinking about this even before I started this lesson, is this idea of, remember, go back in this time here and think about what's happened here, is the progress that the Jews were making, doing things for God that God had asked of them, and they got to a certain point and they just stopped doing it. They seemed comfortable where they were at. And so it was asked by Haggai, are you just going to be happy living in this comfortable situation, or are you going to accomplish what God wants you to? So very important things for us to think about. What about the town we live in, the places that we're close to? Some physical things we can think about. Again, comfort is an important one there. What about grocery? We all need to be buying food from time to time. It may not be as important these days. So many people are doing click lists and home delivery for food, but I still go to the grocery. What about gas stations? You get ready to go to work the next day. Are you going to be close enough to a gas station where you can have fuel for your vehicle? Service garage. Okay, I got the gas, but my car's broke down. What about a place to eat or a park to go to or entertainment? How far from work is this place? What are the travel routes? Do you have to drive all around just to get to where you want to go in this town that you like because it's so remote? You get into places that are mountainous down in the Appalachian areas there where the Smoky Mountains, or you go out west to where there's mountains. Sometimes what only may be, as the crow flies, they say, a mile or two away may take an hour to get there because you have to drive to get there. So all these decisions are things that might be on our mind when we're trying to think about a town that we want to live at. But what about the spiritual? Genesis 13, 18 through, or 8 through 10 says, "So Abram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is it not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you go to the right, I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar." So Lot's been given this opportunity. He says, okay, we're not getting along. Our herds are too big. We need to separate. You pick where you want to go and make a good decision. We just talked about what you might like in a town that you want to live in. What are all the things that are beneficial to you? Lot saw all these things when he opened his eyes up and looked towards Sodom. And he saw the plain of Jordan. He said it was like the garden of the Lord. It looked so good. And the land of Egypt. So he figured he made the best decision possible. And Abram gave him the choice there. But continue on. In verses 11 through 13, it says, "Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated from each other, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities and plains, and he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom." That all sounds good, right? Everything was working out for him. He seemed to have a good location. Everything was going to be good for his herds and for his herdsmen and for living there. But notice that last part of the verse there. "But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord." The one thing that he didn't count on or plan for or pay attention to was that last bit. And sometimes that's what happens to us too. We think about all the things physically that are going to be beneficial, but sometimes the spiritual parts are outside of our periphery there. What about having kids? I got the picture of the house again, but we want to have kids. What's some of the physical thoughts that people go through for having children? Do we have the ability to have kids? Do we have the desire to be loved and to love those kids? Do we just want to have offspring? Do we want to extend our family lineage? Do we want prestige from having those kids? Or do we want to be a dad or a mom for some reason? What about teaching? To educate them? Or to have fun with? All these things typically are going through somebody's mind. You know, I didn't really think about it until I was working on this about how we do that. We just naturally think, well, I'm going to get married and I'm going to have kids. It's just automatic. That's just going to happen. But why do we say that? What is it about having children that we want to do that for? And I think some of these things are probably the answers to that question. It's not because we can, but it's we want to. I want to have a kid because I want to love my kid. I want my son or daughter to love them, and I want to hold them and hug them and have them close to me. I want to have offspring. That idea about your family lineage is so important. And a reason I put down some of these is you look in the scripture of the Old Testament for some of the main characters of the Old Testament, we see so many times the wife was barren and the person that was married to that person would pray for them, please let my wife no longer be barren. And we see that so many times in so many great stories, but just becomes so important there. And again, what about teaching and to educate? Do you want to raise children up to be like you are, to be a, try to be a good Christian, to try to know God? Important things. So the spiritual side of if we want to have kids, a good verse there might be this one. Psalms 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Just this idea. It's interesting that this verse points out that having children is like a weapon. And if you think about it, it really is. If you feel confident that you have a good, solid family structure and family base, you have less to worry about. If you're struggling with the family that you have, that you don't feel like you've done the right things, or maybe you've not led them the right way, it may be more difficult for you to get through life. Continuing in Proverbs, backing up into chapter 17, says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children is their father. Continuing on, Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. This verse has been used by so many of us in our lessons from the pulpit, but such an important one, and one that we all struggle to do as fathers and as mothers and grandmothers and grandfathers, trying to get that idea of this helping this child to grow. We continued on from our questions last week. What religion are you? What are some of the physical things that people ask about religion? Why do they want to know about these things? What about prestige? Well, if I go to that religion, I'm very prestigious. There are religions in the world that are very well recognized as top religions, if you want to put it that way, because so many people are part of it. You go anywhere around the world and somebody is probably a part of that religion. But is it all about prestige, or is it about following God? Size of the church so often. Well, I just joined this new place down the street because they got 500 or 1,000 members. We hear about the word megachurches. This has pretty much come up in the last 20 years or so. Basically a metal barn full of people with all kinds of things going on in there. Some may be for good things spiritually, but other things are mostly entertainment. What about popularity? Well, everybody's going there, so I'm going to go there too. Is that is what the world's thinking about for the religion that's important to you? What about things to do? Oh, they've got all this stuff going on all day, and boy, I can just really entertain my kids there or myself. I put on there, fun for kids. Is it a place I can drop the kid and forget about them for the rest of the day? Is it entertaining? That's become a huge part of some of these religions today, is entertainment. Is the band really good? Do they really sing well? Are they very entertaining? Do they have great songs? Are those the things that people are focused on? So are they focused on this physical part of a religion or the spiritual? Revelations has something to say about that in chapter 3. Verses 7 through 8. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things is he who says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the keys of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. So great. I know Revelations is certainly has its place for the children of Israel, but it has a place for us too in how we see Jesus speaking through John here and giving them instruction about churches that are not doing good and churches that are doing good. Multiple churches are mentioned in this area of Revelation here, but only one of them was said to be doing the right things. So is that what we're religion that we're a part of? Is that what we're focused on? Are we keeping the Word of God? Continuing on, because you have kept my word, my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. To test those who dwell on earth, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name." Wow, talk about something to give you confidence, right? How did they get all these things? Why is Christ saying here, through John, this person is clearly mine? I have marked my name on him. He's got God's name on him. I'm going to make him a pillar. All these things. Go back up to the top. "Because you have kept my command to persevere." What is perseverance? Perseverance is when you see some of these, and I heard somebody joking about this on a radio program this week, when they do these newscasts, these reporters are going to places where there's hurricanes, and they're on camera, and the wind's blowing against them, and it's beating them down, and they're walking forward, and they can hardly do it just to make a point. This is a really, really bad storm. Please pay attention to it. Whether that's for themselves or somebody else, I don't know. But that idea of them trying to fight through the wind and the rain there is the idea of perseverance. You're being pushed back, but you need to keep coming forward. And it says, "I will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come to the whole world." So not going to come to the person that's trying to persevere, but everyone is going to be dealing with that. And the success can be yours if you stick with it. How did you get involved in the church? Physical things, friend, family, curiosity. Was there an event that was there? A gospel meeting, a singing? These are some of the things that people look at often getting involved in religions. "Well, my grandma went there and I just thought I'd go. Or maybe grandma pushed me to go. Or my mom pushed me to go. My family's always gone there and we've got 4 or 5 generations there, so I had to go. Or I was involved in that generation because I was curious about it. I didn't know anything about it and it sounded good." Maybe one event, gospel meeting, a singing. Or maybe it was the entertainment that we talked about. All the things that people may be getting involved in religions. What does John say? John chapter 3, verse 3 through 6. "And Jesus answered unto him and said, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? And Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." This was totally something that he didn't understand here that Jesus is telling him about. But this is how to get involved in the church from a spiritual thing. How do we become part of the church? We can read about this in other places, that the Lord adds us to the church through our confession and baptism and so on. How do we keep these things? This idea of being born when he's old here, Nicodemus didn't understand it, but Christ already had the plan in his mind very clearly and had to show him the way. Continuing on in John, "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes and where it goes." And I think about this a lot of times when a storm's coming. It's like, I wonder where that wind's been, and I wonder where it's going to go to eventually. "So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" He still just didn't understand the situation. And we've also asked the question, which religion is right from the world's point of view? Physically, how can you answer that? Is it respected? Is it devout? Does that church do many good works? Is it the percentage of members that they have? How many people go there? Is it very impressive? I know one thing that a lot of people are really focused on, some religions, is because the great, great buildings that they've built over the world. In Europe, in the United States, in the South Americas, in Mexico, all around the world, some religions have built these amazing structures to celebrate that religion, to celebrate what their religion is based on. Is it the buildings that we're attracted to, or is it what's being talked about? You know, we look at the children of Israel, and we look at the kingdom that Solomon started off with, and the temple that he built, and his great things. I mean, that also had a place for people to be fascinated with the quality of the temple and everything. But was that what the religion was? Remember, as you get past that into some of the prophets, God says, "I don't care about your worship. I don't care about your buildings. I don't care about your songs or your music or whatever you're playing to me. I just want you to follow me. I want you to listen to my words and listen to my commands." So spiritually, when we're asking the question, which religion is right? Deuteronomy says, "Therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." I wanted to underline that, but I didn't really like how the font was underlining here. So keep that word for all these passages, commandments, look for them. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His what? Commandments. For this is man's all. So we're asking the question, which religion is right? Look for the commandments and follow them. Continuing on. John 15, 5 through 8. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. As we've learned with the microphone, it's always against us. Hopefully you heard everything that we talked about there. But so as we close the lesson and making decisions, like we talked about last week, how decisions were made in other ways and how decisions should be made today. They should always be based on spiritual things when we're talking about spiritual implications. And all decisions have a spiritual and physical implication. Anything that I do is going to have an effect on one or both of those things. We need to be careful about that. So which do we look to first? Do we look to the spiritual or the physical? And why does it matter? We talked about looking for a house or having kids or getting married or getting a job or where we're going to live, what part of the country we're going to move to. All these things, most of the time, even for a good Christian, the physical is the first thing that we think about. But what about the spiritual? All those things are very important to think about, because a good job far away from where you go to church or far away from your family who might be encouraging to you is going to have an implication on your life. Proverbs chapter 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. I used this when we started the lesson out last week talking about the casting of lots. The point there is that every decision is from the Lord. And how can you know what those decisions are? We live at a time, as I mentioned last week, that we have the full Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we are told in Scripture in the New Testament that the old law was for our instruction manual. It gives us everything that we need to know in looking to what God requires of us. Isaiah 58:11 says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. I think we've used this passage before in other lessons there, but remember what Lot was looking for. He had a large herd. He wanted to take care of his people. He wanted to take care of himself. When Abram gave him the choice of where to go, he looked for a land that was well watered. Isaiah 58:11 should be what we're looking for. A land that is well watered spiritually is so important. So this morning, as we wrap things up, we talked about the decisions that we make, and I was thinking, as I mentioned the lyrics of the Rush song earlier, we all have a moment to decide now. I've been wanting to do a lesson that starts off with the invitation and wraps up with something different. But the invitation is open to all of us, to me and to every one of us. We all fail. We all fall short of what God wants us to do. And that is something that we need to decide. Are we going to make a change for that? Or are we going to continue to allow that to be part of our life? If we are not a Christian, being around Christians is not enough. Being talking about a Christian and reading about Bibles and reading books of the Bible and those kind of things are helpful to us. But when the end comes, the Scripture is very clear, there are some that will be left and there are some that will be taken back to heaven to be with God forever. And it's told to us that we need to be a Christian in order for that to happen. So please, when we take these moments to sing the invitation song, don't let the invitation song be emotion. Let it be a thoughtful time for you to make a decision on where you stand before God. And if you need Him, we encourage you to take action at this time. As we stand and sing, if you have any needs, please come forward at this time.